This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Our pleasure to be joined now by Nikki Spetsera. She is the director of Full Court Press Season 2, available now. Episodes 3 and 4 coming out this weekend on ESPN+. And Nikki, it's great to have you. We talked to Kristen about Season 1 last year. And this year, we have a Washington Mystic that was featured. Is Kiki Arifin finished her career at USC, as you documented, and then wound up here in D.C. I want to start a little broader and just ask you about what it was like to cover the three programs you did. It's Flaje Johnson at LSU. It's Hannah Hidalgo at Notre Dame, and it's Kiki at USC. And I feel like there's three great programs with three great coaches, but are all very distinct and different in kind of how the program is and how the programs are built. So what was it like to cover, you know, LSU, this traditional college town style program, Notre Dame with Nielle and the dynamic energy she brings, and then Lindsey Gottlieb, kind of this coach's coach at USC, they're right there in the middle of LA?
Yeah, you bring up a great point. I think that covering three different programs, three different coaches, three different athletes is you can't approach every scenario the same way. So I think, you know, while maybe Coach Gottlieb let us into the locker room right away, let us mic her at practice, we had to build that trust a little bit more with Coach Mulkey. And we got that access eventually, but we kind of had to, you know, take baby steps and, there's more protocols at LSU. There's more rules set in place. They've been, you know, kind of the top of the women's game the last many years. And the last years, Kim Mulkey has been there. And I think with Coach Gottlieb, you know, she's excited to get more eyes on the program. And that is kind of a new thing, right? So I think, yeah, just how we approach building that trust and even filming on the ground was different. And then obviously their personalities come across differently on camera, and how they run practices, how they run their locker rooms, all that stuff was really interesting to watch.
I do want to spend as much of our time as we can on Kiki, as she's here in DC now, but we also have Sonia Citron, who obviously is going to be a supporting character in some way to Hannah Hidalgo's story. What did you notice about Sony in your time around the Notre Dame program? And talking to people there, they love her. Nielle was so complimentary, and all of her teammates. So I'm guessing you're going to have probably good things to say about Sony, because if not, you'd be the first person I ever met who didn't. But what did you notice about Sonia Citron in your time around the Notre Dame program?
I mean, to be honest, we didn't talk to her that much, but we were there for a lot of games and practices. And, you know, personally, I found Notre Dame to be one of the most exciting teams to watch, particularly in the beginning of the season. Obviously, they had that big win against USC and then UConn. But yeah, Sonia, they had the star-powered team with Hannah and Olivia. Maybe Sonia didn't get as much recognition as she should have, but she was right up there every game, you know, hitting threes, getting steals, and super fun to watch. And I can't wait to watch her next season in the W.
Yeah, for sure. We're excited to have her here in DC. So for Kiki, you're around her for 5 seconds. You're like, this is a dynamic superstar of a person. it doesn't take long. So I'm sure you knew some about her to pick her as one of the featured athletes to begin with. But as you get around Kiki Iriafin, what starts to stand out to you that is that I was just put it there. What stands out to you about her as you're initially getting to know her?
Yeah, I mean, she has such poise and grace. She's so articulate. She's so thoughtful. Really, she makes, you know, for people like you and I, our jobs easy. I think what I really respected about her is she was just very raw and vulnerable for our cameras. I think particularly that Notre Dame loss in the beginning of the season, we obviously followed that from Hannah's side and from Kiki's side. And that was a tough loss for the team, but particularly for Kiki. I think there was a lot of pressure to perform transferring, and you know, there was some social media backlash after that game, and you know, she had some self-doubt, she had some struggles, and we kind of built that trust with her where we explained that it's not just the highs that we want to show, right? You need to show the highs and lows, and that's what makes you relatable, and that's what makes people care. And obviously that makes like young people know that you struggle too, right? And she opened up for our cameras, and she gave us a really kind of raw, intimate interview, and she was a little teary-eyed, and I respected that about her. She kind of just knew that she had to put it all out there, and that's really what the goal of the documentary was, to capture all angles of her life.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nikki Spitzbaris, the director of Full Court Press Season 2, is with us. I kind of chuckle, Nikki, as you say, young people like Hannah and Kiki and Flage are young people. And I remember talking to Kristen about this last year, and like the sense of responsibility to you're a documentarian, you're a journalist. So you want to show as raw as you can. But there's also got to be an instinct to say these are young women. Like how intrusive, for lack of a better word, do I want to be? How did you try to find that balance here in season two with this particular group?
Yeah, I think as a filmmaker, I mean, it matters what age person the person you're following is, but I do think you just always try to lead your team, lead your project, lead your directing with the same core values, which is over-communicate, be transparent. I think if we knew we wanted to have a tough conversation on camera, you know, we wouldn't just ask that on camera. We're not trying to have the gotcha moments. We would, you know, and some of our producers that were with the women day in and day out, they were really friendly with the parents and with the siblings. And, you know, you kind of just immerse yourself in their world and build that trust little by little. But I do think you just try to say why you think a particular conversation or scene is important to the story and really talk that out. And I think all the women bought in, even when it was difficult things to talk about.
you mentioned their personality starting to shine through, and I could tell even in episode one, right? Flage, her camera awareness is very much there. She's a performer. Like, for those that don't know, Flage Johnson, the LSU point guard, also a very successful rap career, like real, not like athlete doing rap. Like, she is an actual artist, and thus that performer, I feel like, comes through. Hannah's fire, bite, competitiveness, whatever word you want to use, like, I feel like that comes through, and this genuineness from Kiki comes through as well. How did you try to maybe lean into those personalities at times, but also make sure that you don't box them in and present them as singular characters versus the dynamic young people that they are?
Yeah, I really think making a series, that is the hardship, is you have to keep kind of taking a step back to think, how are these stories working together? Are we giving fair airtime and importance to each story? And then kind of chart the arc through the four episodes, right? Like, you know, if we tell the story about Kiki, you know, in episode one and two, having this hard loss, then, you know, how did she build from that, right? So I think just really, we're always talking, we're always thinking, we're always talking to the athletes. I think that, and you just let them be them. There, Flage gives an interview in the last episode where she's really, I think it's her best interview of the series. She's so raw and real, but one of my favorite parts is in the middle of the interview, she's at her family's home and her little brothers are running around. And typically you want a quiet interview, but we were like, you know what? This is her. This is her life. Let's just let her brothers run around. Let's let it be hectic. And in the middle of the interview, she literally screams to her brothers, like, stop running around. I'm doing an interview. And it kind of breaks that third wall, but it also is hilarious, and it's her. So we did try to just let them be them and capture that.
What was your favorite moment with Kiki in the series?
Oh, wow. Oh, you know, the draft night stuff with Kiki was really special. You'll see that in episode four. You know, she represented her culture with this Nigerian designer. Her mom was there. She had her whole glam squad. And it was really cool to be behind the scenes with her and her family for, you know, such a momentous night and a dream come true for her.
Yeah, I'm very excited, obviously, for being in DC, considering that's where she wound up getting to see that at the end. Last thing I'll ask you is, because I believe I talked about this with Lindsay. We had Coach Gottlieb on the show after Kiki got drafted. But the moment where Juju goes down and kind of the conversations that happened between Lindsay and Kiki and the team and the aftermath of that, What were those moments like? Because that's as hard of a moment as you can have in sports. It's a human moment, not just a sports moment. But the way Kiki responded on the floor was unbelievable. So what was that moment like to wrap us up here?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you know, obviously our feelings are with Juju and that team. But yeah, on the ground, I mean, you're starting to call your producers and your camera people, and you're trying to figure out, okay, what do we follow? I know this is difficult, but we need to talk to Coach after. We need to talk to Kiki after. So it is definitely like a pivot as a filmmaker, but I think Kiki, again, how she played in that game was amazing to document, and how she stepped up and led her team, but also in the aftermath heading into the Sweet 16, we talked with her in her hotel room, you know, when the news came out of what had really happened to Juju, and, you know, Kiki just, as an upperclassman, really tried to help lead her team and also support Juju from afar. So seeing that behind the scenes was really incredible.
Nikki Spitzeris is the director of Full Court Press Season 2. It's available now on ESPN Plus, episode 3 and 4 coming out this weekend. Nikki, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. And a great job with at least episode 1 that I've watched so far.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Nikki Spetsteris with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, there was nearly another trade on draft night for the NFL between Adam Peters and Howie Roseman. Of course, a pretty infamous one last year, but it didn't go down this time. Why? We now have the behind-the-scenes audio, and Adam Peters talking about it in an interview, so we'll get to that next here on the Team 980.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.